Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 965. 965. Tell us, O our best beloved, where thou feed'st thy tender flock, where they rest at noon discover, shelter us beneath that rock. Let no idle air divide us from thee, Lord, in whom we live. By thy loving counsel guide us, and our souls at last receive. 965.
Turn to God's holy word and read from the Gospel according to Mark and chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And again he entered into Capernaum. After some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thy house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles. The wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him. How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. May the Lord help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we would pray indeed for thy help as we come before thee now this evening. O Lord, do stir us up, do work powerfully, mightily within us. O Lord, do grant that anointing of thy Spirit. Do speak the word, we pray, that word of power into our hearts and our souls, our lives. O Lord, do grant indeed that resurrection power, that new life. And O Lord, in our worship, do deliver us from a coldness, lukewarmness. O Lord, do grant us that life, that true spiritual life. O Lord, to know thy power, we do pray. To know thy preciousness, O Lord Jesus Christ. To know thy beauty. O Lord, indeed, thy mercy and thy grace. O Lord, indeed, we do pray that thou wouldst have mercy upon us. For we so often follow after those things that are not right in thy sight. Follow after those vanities. Follow after our own self-will. But, O Lord, do draw us and we will run after thee. Help us indeed as we come in worship now. O Lord, indeed, do draw near. Thou knowest the distress that we're in. Many indeed that are sick, many of thy servants unwell, unable through illness to preach this day. O Lord, indeed, we do pray that thou wouldst look in mercy. Grant thy help, we do beg. Thy healing mercies, we particularly remember Mr. Izzard and Richard Woodhams and Robert Field. O indeed, we do pray that thou wouldst grant thy healing mercies upon them each, and others also who may be unwell. O Lord, we do pray, appear at this time. O Lord, grant thy mercies, thy restoring mercies. Look in mercy upon us, for indeed thy hand, the chastening hand, is upon us, on the churches at this time. And O Lord, in many ways we are in distress. O Lord, have mercy. O Lord, turn us again. Grant, O Lord, a restoring of that union, we pray. O Lord, grant indeed that we may walk in the light as he is in the light, and that we should know that fellowship one with another. O Lord, indeed, grant in mercy to, O Lord, be with thy servants that go forth, to be with thy servant with us this night, and to help him in his labours, and in the proclamation of thy holy word. O Lord, indeed, do be with each that would be called unto the ministry. Indeed, it is a trying day. But, O Lord, grant that we may hold fast, not to look back, but to look straight ahead. O Lord, keep us. And O Lord, if any be in that pathway of discouragement, troubled, tempted to go back, O Lord, grant that strength to yet press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, do keep us. Oh, how we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Oh, Lord, we so need thee as the good shepherd. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Grant us of thy strength. Draw us with thy love. Do kindle that flame of love within us, we pray. Oh, Lord, we would beg to be with my own pastor at home and in the many heavy responsibilities that he bears. And, O Lord, do grant brother Jonathan in the ministry that help. He's labouring, and thou hast bring him and thy servants here in the coming week. To grant thy blessing and thy favour in the ministry. Do be with friend and his family in their bereavement at this time. O Lord, grant thy comfort, thine upholding. O Lord, indeed, that consolation. O Lord, that strengthening. O Lord, be with the brethren, the deacons here in their responsibility and burden concerning the house, and for thine honour and glory. O Lord, indeed, do grant thy blessing upon the services, and may indeed that testimony in this place, this neighbourhood, indeed be used and blessed of thee. And the scriptures that are freely distributed, O Lord, may thy word be read. Thou wilt open the hearts of those who read. They may desire to learn of thee, and to pray that they may be given understanding and a blessing through that which they read of thy word, thy living word. And, O Lord, do bless the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society and the spreading the faithful versions of thy word. And those who translate, those who labour in this most vital work, do, O Lord, preserve them at this time. Do help them, especially those labouring in lands of persecution or unrest or poverty. O Lord, we do pray for thy help. And all others that would labour in the distribution of thy word. Oh, indeed, what great needs there are, great thirstings there are for thy word. Alas, how little in our own land. Oh, that there may be more in our own hearts. O Lord, we do pray. Grant us then that thirsting after thee. Do help us indeed in coming to the ministry of thy word. O Lord, indeed, do grant that life, we pray, which can only come from thee. Speak the word only, or that word that is from thee, by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, help, we pray, and undertake. Do, O Lord, grant indeed then thy mercies and thy grace to be with the children and the young people at this time, to help them, to lead them, to guide them. Do bless them in their souls and favour them. O Lord, help them in their studies, in their employment. Do, O Lord, provide godly husbands and wives. But above all, lead them in that way everlasting to truly know thee whom to know is life eternal. It may be so with each of us, whether younger or older, that we may know thee. Do, O Lord, reveal thyself, and grant us those ears to hear and eyes to see, a heart to receive. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 536. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. 536.
May the Lord help us this evening in coming to his word. And two words in particular upon my spirit to bring before you, and that is in Mark chapter 2 and verse 14. And these two words, follow me. Follow me. And the whole verse reads, and as he, Jesus, passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Jesus did not have to give a long discourse to persuade Levi, the son of Alphaeus. He only needed to speak those two words, follow me. On the first day of creation, it was only necessary that the Lord should speak these words, let there be light. And there was light. Here we have the power of Almighty God and the Word of God. Jesus Christ, who is the Word. It was like on that first day of creation, let there be light, and there was light. And Levi, the son of Alphaeus, at the receipt of custom. Well, I must explain, perhaps particularly to younger friends, what this would mean, as it is not something we are accustomed to see, mercifully, in our country. Well, I've witnessed such things in Africa. Those who are called publicans. It's not as the word is used now today, but in reference to the Roman Republic. Those who collected the taxes, collected that tribute money of those who were subjects under the subjection to the Roman state. The publicans were those, we may even say, collaborators with those that were subjugated. Who had conquered. They were viewed by most of the Jews as those who collaborated with the enemy. And Levi, the son of Alphaeus, was a publican. And not only that, many of them would extort more than they should. Would demand extra money, which they would not pass to their Roman rulers, but line their own pockets, so to speak. Ungodly, greedy men. Utterly despised by the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. And often where such practices of extorting money, their lives would be marred by further grievous sins and dissolution. And uncleanness. We have the example also of the calling of Zacchaeus, Jericho, another publican. Unlike Levi, who was sitting at the receipt of custom, the place where the custom or those taxes were to where to be demanded. Zacchaeus, he ran to see who Jesus was, and he climbed up a tree. Now we would notice, firstly, both with Levi and with Zacchaeus, the Lord Jesus did not need anyone to explain who these men were, who this man was. Didn't need anyone to open up his accounts. Didn't need anybody to tell him how all his money was spent, how his life was spent. Didn't need anybody to tell him about all the greed and extortion. The Lord knows. The Lord knew. The Lord sees. He knows each one of us and our hearts. But the Lord knows and sees also, and this is a great comfort, our desires. The sigh in our heart, a cry for mercy, that cry for help. The Lord knows all. Both in judgment and in mercy. And with Zacchaeus, the Lord called him by name. Zacchaeus. And he said, come down. Well, there must be a coming down. The blessing is for the humble. He giveth grace unto the humble. Like as we read earlier in this passage, the blessing was received at the feet of Jesus. That man who was sick of the palsy. He must be laid at the feet of Jesus. There wasn't a blessing up on the rooftop looking down on Jesus, but it was at the feet of Jesus. And what is remarkable about there was that faith. That man and his four friends, there was that faith that they're drawn, that they must come to the feet of Jesus. There was that, as it were, that spiritual violence. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And they must. That was not a fleshly determination, but it was that wrought in the heart. They must come to Jesus. They were drawn. And now we read of Jesus going forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. We read elsewhere of the disciples who were fishermen. And there they were by the seaside with their nets and their boats, and the Lord said, follow me. They forsook all and followed him. Left all their business. Left all their occupation. We read of that in the previous chapter. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers, his fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Whatever must their family have thought? Whatever must their wives have thought? But we have an answer in chapter 1. And it is a wonderful truth that those that are called by the grace of God, venture upon the Lord's name and the Lord's call, he will provide. He is good. He is gracious. Well, we have the answer. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. There was a provision there. This wonderfully speaks of the Lord's care for his sheep, for his lambs. Those who he calls, follow me. The Lord will never call to follow him without providing. And when those disciples, they went forth preaching the word, and they came back, and the Lord asked them that question, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Now there's a list given to them of things that they were not to take with them. It seemed that they would have been had very little with them indeed. But all that really mattered was the Lord's commission and the Lord's calling, the Lord's sending forth, and they lacked nothing. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. We spoke of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a word of power. But there's also a drawing in the heart. As we've mentioned already earlier today about Peter, thou hast the words of eternal life. When others turned back and went no more, they were not truly following in that right sense, that right way. But others turned away. This isn't a hard saying, who can hear it? They were offended. In some ways, they wanted Jesus to follow them. They wanted him to follow them in their form of religion, their self-righteousness, their lineage from Abraham, their pride. But that following of Jesus, it must be humble. We do not hear of Levi or the disciples, as it were. Well, it's not recorded they said anything. It was the Lord that spake, and they followed. Oh, for that childlike faith ourselves, that we should hear the Lord's voice, the voice of our beloved. See, that brings us to a lovely theme of being drawn by the love, by love. And we love him because he first loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What wonderful drawing power there is there in love. Even in natural things, if there's one that we love, we'll, as it were, cross land and seas and no expense or trouble is too great. Oh, how we do so need the Spirit. The Spirit may reveal the love of God in Christ Jesus, that we may be drawn with that power. The voice, my beloved, follow me. Truly, it is well if we are with Jesus, if we're following him. For the Lord indeed, he indeed is precious. That preciousness of Christ. There's a beauty. There's a beauty in his sufferings. That beauty is in that his love, which is shed forth. There isn't beauty in one sense of seeing somebody suffering and dying. It's terrible. But the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a beauty there in that he was laying down his life. A sacrifice for sin. Shedding his precious blood. Fulfilling all the types of the Old Testament sacrifices. There showing forth his love. And his compassion. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, we read in prophecy. And in looking, John testified of the water and the blood that flowed from Christ's pierced side. The water of life, that water to cleanse, the blood to atone. The water and the blood being necessary in the rite of the cleansing of the leper. In the Old Testament, there fulfilled, there was the cleansing of that leprosy of sin. The leper, they were, the consequence of that disease was a disfigurement. It was, as it were, an eating away of parts of the body, or they become unfeeling and damaged and would not heal. And the more the leprosy grew, the more the disfigurement. It shows, well, leprosy is a type of sin. And we indeed disfigured by sin. But how great the mercy of our Lord and Saviour that he should lay down his life. For the sheep, for sinners, should come and touch the leper. And the leper is made clean. There is that cleansing, that healing, that forgiving of sin. Being made white. And washed in the precious blood of Christ. There indeed is the beauty. It's not in making pictures and images and paintings of Christ, supposedly. Some places of worship will have many pictures and paintings to try and convey something of Christ's sufferings or Christ's beauty or Christ's compassion. But that's not in accordance with God's word. We're not to make an image or a picture of God. Jesus indeed is God manifest in the flesh. We need that, as it were, appreciation of the beauty of Christ, not through a picture or a great work of man's art, but that which is by the Holy Spirit, that which is by faith, the evidence of things not seen. That work of faith. Which we so read of in Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, that we may pray for faith, that we may see the beauty, the glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See the beauty of that face, not in any human depiction, but through the testimony of Holy Scripture in union with the Holy Spirit, testifying in our hearts as we read those words, the words of eternal life. And what beauty there is when the Lord says to that one who is sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Or to the leper, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Lord says, "I will." He touches the leper and made perfectly whole. That woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of his garment by faith. And virtue, she received of his virtue. The Lord indeed had taught her. And shown her and revealed Christ unto her. How precious indeed the Lord Jesus was to her and is. That woman would be with Christ, which is far better. That is the wonderful thing about it, is when we consider it rightly. Alas, so often we get carried away with all the things of this world and become dull and cold. But when we consider the beauty of Christ and those blessings that we trust many of us have known, or indeed we hope we may receive, that it is, as it were, but a foretaste of that which is reserved up in heaven. And when the Lord says, "Follow me," it's not just follow him in just the things of this world, to follow him whilst here below. But that call is to follow him to that heavenly place, to be with Christ, which is far better. Like as we read in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Indeed, when the Lord says, "Follow me," the voice of the Good Shepherd, calling unto his sheep, "Follow me." The shepherd indeed cares for his flock, to bring them to that quiet place of pasture, and by the living waters, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What beauty there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what compassion, what tenderness, yet what power. "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. We read elsewhere, they forsook all and followed him. And when the Lord calls, and draws by his effectual power and by his grace and mercy. There must be a forsaking. It's a painful work. There are those things that must be left behind. You cannot serve two masters. I knew it was in my own life, having been brought up in a false religion. Religion consisting of music, ritualism, bowings and crossings. Most of what was sung was probably in Latin. Most of it wasn't in any way godly. Singing praise to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the like. It couldn't even be said I didn't understand what I was singing, because I'd studied Latin at school. Utterly dead in sins and trespasses, though in a great form of religion. But then when outside of the church would go and desire to follow after any worldly thing there was. Indeed, it was a painful thing to come away. Bit by bit, more and more was revealed of those things that were displeasing unto God. Sins that I'd not even considered, things I might not have even considered to have been sinful. Company that I kept. Indeed, in thoughts. Not just that which I spoke, but that which I thought. That he is precious. And there was that drawing power. Indeed, a power that one cannot describe. But a power. Follow me, and he arose. That resurrection power of Christ. Because I live, ye shall live also. There, when that word came, follow me, there was that newness of life in Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and he arose and followed him, followed Christ. Now, it struck me in contrast in Luke chapter 9. In verse 57 onwards, we see a difference. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Another, Lord, I will follow thee, but... Well, I would not wish to judge what the eternal state or what subsequently became of those, because it is not recorded. And we know of the one which the Lord said, Son, go work in my vineyard. And he refused, but later repented. But it is notable here the difference, if we contrast this with the account of Levi, the son of Alphaeus. The Lord said, follow me. It was the work of the Lord first. And Levi, the son of Alphaeus, there was a a silent following. There wasn't, yes, I will follow, but. Yes, I will follow, but let me do this. Oh, we do need to be careful. As we say, yes, I will follow thee, O Lord, if this, or but that. I will go forth and profess thy name, if this, and but that. May we be given that holy submission. That gracious submission. When the Lord calls, follow me. We follow him. It's so simple. But how we do need the power of God. For the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Crookedness within us. For that subduing power. We have need to pray for it. Pray that when we hear the word of God, that we may receive it in its simplicity, power and truth. Follow me, and he arose and followed him. Oh, how so often we can say, yes, I will follow, but I'll follow if somebody else also follows. Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now we read of those who are also in some sort of way, who are also following Jesus, but with a different, altogether different spirit. They were following him to find fault, following that they might see, observe what he did. There were those who followed because they'd eaten of the loaves and the fishes and their bellies were filled. Followed out of curiosity. Followed to see something spectacular. Here we have the scribes and the Pharisees. They were following. Came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, that is the house of Levi, the son of Alphaeus, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There were many other sinners. What I mean by this, the same publicans and sinners, other publicans, tax gatherers, and others whose lives were evidently a scandal. Now, in times of revival, especially, we read of multitudes being drawn, coming, most singular conversions, most clear conversions of those whose lives were anything but Christian, who lived the most dreadful lives in many cases. We'll think about the Philippian jailer. Or Mary Magdalene, to whom the Lord cast seven devils. We see here there were many that followed him. And they were the sinners, the publicans, those who were the most despised. The self-righteous, they sat in judgment and looked. Well, I trust we pray and pray that the Lord would be pleased to look in mercy in our land, to turn many who need the Lord's turning, to bring them to repentance, to seek after the Lord. I believe I'm right in saying it was the late servant of the Lord, John Broome, who said words to the effect, we're praying that they come in. If they come in, they won't look like strict Baptists. How needful it is that when those who come, that we're not sitting in the judgment seat. Yet should receive them with kindness. Show forth that Christian compassion. And yes, give those words of counsel quietly and kindly. But let us not join the ranks of the scribes and the Pharisees. It is our heartfelt desire, and so it should, that the Lord would be pleased to turn our captivity in this land. There will be many coming in who will have had or are in some very grievous ways. If the Lord has said even unto them, follow me, then they will follow. And the Lord, we read here about the multitude, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them, in verse 13. Those that follow Christ, the Lord teaches. I look back and think, well, how much did I know when I came in first time into a strict Baptist chapel to hear the preaching? I didn't come with a King James Version in my hand. I came with an NIV. So many things I had to learn. But God is faithful in Christ Jesus, and he taught them. The Lord says, follow me, he will teach. As it were, we are enrolled in the school of Christ. He says, follow me. But God is faithful and gracious. Follow me. And he arose and followed him. We also have an example in the Gospel according to John, after our Lord rose from the dead, and he appeared unto the disciples. Well, they'd gone a fishing. Where they were, you may say, drifting back into their old profession. Unbelief. They'd gone a-fishing. They caught nothing. But there we see the grace and the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ himself came and stood by the seashore. And he'd prepared for them a fire of coals and fish laid thereon and bread. But the Lord had said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, "No." And he said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find where they've been fishing all night." And these were skilled fishermen. And night time was the time to go fishing. I remember travelling by Lake Malawi. And there are all these lights out into the lake. And I asked somebody, what are those? And so they're the fishermen who go out. We're holding the lights to attract the fish in the night time. I never saw fishermen going out during the day. The same on Lake Tanganyika. They go out in the day would be when they'd be spreading the fish out to dry or attending to their boats. So night time was the time to go out. They were skilled fishermen and they caught nothing. No matter how clever we are, how skillful we are, it'll be a fruitless task unless we're following Christ. Alas, so often we do. We go fishing. We catch nothing. Yet the Lord is gracious and says, cast the net on the right side. Or on the other side. And they cast thereof, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishers. Well, how we do need that grace to follow the Lord's counsel. To listen for his voice, for his direction. To wait upon him. And when that word comes, to follow him. Not to follow unto our own thoughts, our own ways, our own wisdom, but that wisdom which is from above, from Christ. But then afterwards the Lord, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Well, the Lord asks Simon Peter three times, Lovest thou me? And the third time, Peter was grieved. So it brought to his remembrance that he denied the Lord thrice. How was it that it came to pass? What was Peter doing before he denied the Lord thrice? Followed at a distance or far off. We have to be careful if we think we would just like to follow Christ afar off. The Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, you'll never see two animals yoked together, one a distant, long way away from the other. It's impossible. But Peter, he followed afar off. And there is a danger in thinking that we can just follow afar off. A bit of an outward profession. Hoping we know certain things, but not following too closely. And before Peter knew it, he was there denying the Lord with oaths and curses. Let us never be satisfied with following at a long distance. Sometimes those of us who are parents of our children are not very pleased with the way we're leading them. Or children don't get quite what they want. They'll drag along behind or follow it at a distance, grumbling. And we rightly reprove them for it. It's not a good display of love to the parents to be dragging along behind or trying not to be closely associated with. Yes, I know of teenagers who've not wanted to be too closely associated with their godly parents in public in case their peers should see and remember Peter, followed afar off, didn't want to be seen to be associated with Jesus. Before he knew it there, he was denying the Lord with oaths and curses. But the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Yes, Peter saw the Lord, but it was first the Lord. And that face that was smitten, suffering, spat upon, that look of love, yet reproof. It broke Peter's heart. He went out and wept bitterly. Lovest, he saith unto him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Well, here's another aspect of following me. Follow Christ. Follow him above all others. We can very easily be led astray to following this minister or that minister, this denomination or that denomination, these customs or those customs. But they won't save us. It's only Christ. He is the Saviour. And the Lord says, follow me. Yes, there are those things that we should show that honour and right honour to, those things that we should do. But above all, he must have the preeminence, Christ, to follow him with that singleness of eye. But then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple, looking at what somebody else is doing. You may hear that word, follow me, and then we start looking at other people. When I was exercised about coming before for baptism and before the church, the Lord had brought me into a great burden of sin and brought me into a good hope in Christ by his grace. And there I was at Southampton, and there was only a few people in the chapel and the church, only a handful. There were all the various people there who were been at chapel for, say, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, perhaps. And they made no profession. I thought, well, who am I to come forward? Only as a young student, I've only been at the chapel for 10 months or so. Don't even know whether I'll be staying at the university beyond the end of the following year. Trouble was, I was turning and looking at other people. It brought a snare. The Lord broke the snare. I was so concerned about what I've not been at the chapel long enough. All these other people, they've been there for so long. I can't be certain that I'm going to be at the chapel much into the future. And I was mulling these things over in my mind, and the Lord spake. And I know the exact spot in Southampton where I was walking, even to this day. And it was as if the Lord spake, how long was Saul of Tarsus? How long has Saul of Tarsus been in Damascus before he was baptized? Did he stay there? And suddenly the snare was broken. No, the Lord had appeared to him. The Lord had revealed himself unto him and had called him. And he knew that repentance and that forgiveness of sins through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The snare was broken. And I had to venture. And far from the church members thinking, well, what's this young man coming when so many, he's only been at the chapel for 9 months. It was quite the opposite. They were waiting for me to come forward. Well, to my shame, I was too much looking around. What about this man doing? What's that person doing? The Lord said, what is this? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. So easily we're turned aside to looking unto another. or perhaps looking within? Well, within the old man of sin, fallen nature, desperately wicked, deceitful of all things. Motto of the world is trust your own heart. Well, it's certainly not what saith the scripture. We have that need of faith in Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's a wonderful thing, the author and the finisher. That which he hath begun a good work, he shall bring it forth. Bring it to fruition, eternally so. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. May the Lord so speak more and more, and that we be given those ears to hear, to forsake all and follow him. Amen.
Collections today are for the FGEA, and God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Hadley, followed by a church meeting. And Mr. Hadley is also expected to preach on Thursday evening for the Trinitarian Bible Society, and a collection will be taken for the TBS. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 1149. 1149. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Hymn 1149.
Thank you.
And now, O Lord, do look in mercy upon us. Do forgive that which has been spoken amiss. But, O Lord, bless thine own word. Do speak the word only, and with power. And may we follow. Now do take us on our way this evening in safety, we pray. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.